Well, good morning. You could come on in, find a seat here if you would like. Again, I would just, on behalf of the family, like to welcome you as we remember and celebrate the life of Joyce Catherine Evans, born February 3rd, 1933, and passed into the arms of God March 27 of this year. Pray with me if you would. Lord, we just come to you needing your comfort and peace as we mourn the loss of someone we love. Above all, we thank you that Joyce knew Jesus Christ, your son, as her Savior, and that she's in your presence as we speak. Thank you for the reassurance we have in Scripture that if we accept your son as payment for our sins, that we're made right with you both now and for forever. I ask that today we'll just bring glory and honor to you as we celebrate Joyce's life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Tim.
Hey, good morning, all. Welcome. So our mom, Joyce Catherine Evans of Tucson, Arizona, passed away peacefully, I say peacefully, praise God, on March 27th, 2025. She was the daughter of Harry Wilhelm, Della Sacco Law. She had a brother, Francis Wilhelm, and she grew up as the youngest sister. She graduated from Tarentum High School in 1951, which is a small town outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She married my dad, Richard Evans, in August of 1951. They were married for 51 years until his passing in 2002. Richard enlisted in the Army, and my mother was a military wife for 20 years. She had three children, Vicky, Ricky, and who are twins, and my younger brother, Terry. She spent her life raising three children alone often when my dad was deployed overseas at various locations. She was a wonderful mother and who had a home that many families and friends sought as a place of entertainment and comfort. She entertained her entire life, even at 92. Her house was a home where she was welcomed, where she welcomed everyone with open arms. Our mother accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior when she was 89 years old. Our mother loved to travel and lived life to the fullest. She had been all over the world, Australia, France, England, Italy, and that was probably her favorite place of all. Of course, being a military wife, she had lived in numerous places in the States, most often in Massachusetts, and also lived overseas in Japan and Okinawa. She was an avid sports fan. She loved the Pittsburgh Steelers. And of course, the Arizona basketball team. She loved watching their games. She had a deep love for animals and leaves behind her beloved cat, Rocky. Survivors include her son, myself, Rick Evans, my wife, Martha, my sister, Vicki Evans, her son, Terry Evans, granddaughter, Amanda Henders, and two great-grandsons, Caleb and Maxim, all from Arizona. Two grandsons, Chris and his wife, Katie McCormick, David McCormick and his wife, Nikki, and four great-grandchildren, Kara, Kyle, Holly, and Leah, all from Colorado. Nephew Scott Wilhelm of California, had her sister, Tannis Wilhelm Hess, and her brother, Lee Wilhelm, and his wife, Rainey, and sister, Lori Wilhelm Negley, and her husband, Mark, were all of Pennsylvania. My mother was a beautiful, strong, giving, gracious lady to everyone. She surely will be missed by all and live in our hearts forever. We're thankful that love never dies. So I'm so grateful and thankful that you all took the time in your busy lives to come out here to pay honor and respects to my mom. As most of you know, my mom's first name was Joyce, but my grandmother always called her Joy, as did many of her friends. How wonderful a name. She brought so much joy to so many. It was just a perfect name for her. My mom was such a caring, kind, loving person to all. So as some of you know, she also had a great sense of humor. She was always sharing funny stories and jokes. I think the last one she shared with me was, "I don't like it when I see old people, and then I realize I went to high school with them." And it would have probably been funnier when she told it. She had such a great sense of delivery. She was funny. I love that woman. Anyhow, God gave her the gift of joy, and she certainly shared that joy with others, even complete strangers. There wasn't a stranger, a person she didn't know. She just knew everyone. She just reached out to everyone. The last 3 years of her life were very difficult due to her health issues. And she didn't get out much. I know they were very challenging for her, and she shared that with us, During the last few years of her life, she actually accepted Jesus as her Savior and prayed to him to carry her through. And I would share to her, I think it's great that you pray for everyone, Mom. We're called to do that. But I go, you need to pray for yourself, too. You're going through a rough time. And I know that the Lord carried her through these last 2 years because even with everything that she was going through and pain and suffering and what have you, she had joy. and she still shared that joy with friends. We talk about some of the people in the Bible and things that they were going through in their trials and storms, and how they trusted in God to help carry them through that. So I know her faith really helped her these last 2 years of her life. So my mom loved music. Everyone from ABBA to ZZ Top. Okay, maybe she wasn't so thrilled with ZZ Top, okay? But you get what I'm saying. She liked many different genres of music, you know. The music you're hearing today and the song Tim sang and Lacey's going to sing later and some of the music you'll hear on the screen were songs that she wanted shared with us today when we were here. So music is just a beautiful thing. hope I can get through this. My sister Vicki and my wife Martha and I were beside her bed at the hospital. The decision from all of us, including my brother, was to take her off of life support because that's what she wanted. And we wanted to honor her. She was not afraid of dying, and she knew her final destination was in heaven. And she is in heaven. Her spirit is there. Anyhow, as they, the medication started to take an effect on her that they gave her, they took her off life support and what have you, and the ventilator out and all this. And even though she was certainly sedated and on medication, she looked over at my sister and she said, bye. And then she looked over at me on this side of the bed and said, bye. And then she looked at Martha, who was next to me, and said, bye. And they were the last three words I heard her say. And I'm so thankful that we got to say goodbye to our mom and she got to share that with us. And that was the last things that I ever heard her say, you know. So praise God for that. She passed away peacefully. So I just, again, I praise God for the goodbyes, that closure. I will miss my mom, and I loved her deeply, and the love that she had for all of us, her friends, family, extended families. But just please keep us in prayer. I'm thankful through her last challenging years that she had the hope of the Lord. She had peace. She had hope. And Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you again for being here.
Welcome, everyone, and nice to see you all here. I wrote a story. I'm Joyce's daughter, Vicki, and I wrote a story out, but I don't think I want to read it, so I'm going to get my son to read it.
All right. Reader is here.
I'll stand by in case he can't read my writing.
I haven't read cursive since probably third grade, so you're going to have to bear with me. All right. My mother was a wonderful mother and my best friend. We did everything together, and I feel very fortunate. I've had you in my life for 92 years. She was extremely giving and always there for us. I have a lot of nice memories of birthday parties as we were growing up. She always made our favorite meals, meatloaf, stew, or whatever we wanted. I also remember wonderful Thanksgivings and Christmas gatherings with the family and friends. You and Dad would do without you
so you can give us everything.
Apologies. Also, all our wonderful pets over the years, and they brought us so much happiness and still do. Mom's last pet was the cat Rocky, who she loved very much. I remember we went to see Rod Stewart for your birthday. You loved it as much as I did. Growing up, we listened to Frank Sinatra, Glenn Campbell, Johnny Cash. A lot of times, no mention of ZZ Top on that page. Right. Then later in life, thanks to you for introducing me to
Andre Rieu.
Sure. Andre Bocelli, Josh Groban, and so many others. I discovered there was more to life besides my favorite rock and roll.
I could take over, maybe. Yeah. I'm going to take over. Chris did a good job. I have a lifetime of he did a good job reading my writing, and hopefully I can get through the rest of this. I have a lifetime of beautiful memories of things we did together over the years. Grand Canyon, trips to California, seeing Sovang, Hearst Castle, Disneyland, taking Chris and David to San Diego, Coronado Island. They loved it there, being right on the beach. And of course, number one for both of us was our amazing trip to Italy. Seeing Rome, Venice, and the Leaning Tower of Pisa was spectacular. Terry planned our trip. I don't know where Terry is. Oh, there he is, okay. Terry planned our trip, and he loved it there too. I have a lifetime of beautiful, precious, golden memories. After my mother went to the hospital, Rick, which you just heard the story from Rick, after my mother went to the hospital, Rick, Martha, and myself arrived at the hospital shortly after my mother did. As time went on, she opened her eyes and looked at each of us and said bye three times. That was her way of saying goodbye to us. I'm so thankful for that moment. Our mother was a beautiful, strong, giving, and gracious lady to everyone. What a blessing it was to have her all these years. Our mother will be greatly missed and will live in our hearts forever.
All right, sorry, you got to hear from me one more time. If you've ever been to Joyce's, or we called her Meemaw, as her grandchildren, her house, she has this big wrought iron thing in front of the living room, and it used to be covered at Christmas with like hundreds of Christmas cards. And I'm like, no one knows this many people. You're lying. Like, who are these people? Now I look out in this room, and I see that there are really that many people that knew her and loved her. So my name's Chris. I was Joyce's grandson. I live in Colorado now. I grew up in Arizona, was born here, graduated high school here. People always ask me, when are you going to move back? I offer Exhibit A, which is 95 degrees on an April day. That's why I'm staying in Colorado. So anyway, it's an honor to be here. And first off, I wanted to say thank you to everyone for being here again. I wanted to give a special thanks to my mom, Vicky, my Uncle Terry, my Uncle Rick, everyone else that helped put this event together. You know, really appreciate all the hard work you put in, and you know, it's very special to have everyone here today. This is unfortunately the second time I've been in Tucson in the past month for all the wrong reasons. My uncle passed short time ago. My aunt's here today, and it's not the reason. We got to find better reasons to come down here, and I think we can give this a break for a while. But the one silver lining in all that was going to my uncle's celebration of life is that my brother and I came down from Colorado, and we got to stay with Meemaw for the days that we were here. We got to spend some time with her. She was still sharp as ever. I think, Pete, you were using the word she was on it. I was like, that's pretty well said. We're staying in her house with her. She's 92 years old at this point, clearly more frail, but still sharp as a tack. She's walking around on her walker, trying to get us towels and food and stuff. I'm like, sit down, we're good. You've lived here for 50 years, we know where everything is. But that was just the type of person she was. She was always trying to help and be there for everyone. Great entertainer, great host. Some of my best memories are in that house. We grew up there throughout the years. Grew up in Colorado, ended up moving back to Arizona, and you know, she helped make that transition very easy for us. Spent a lot of days pool parties at her house, which I'm sure everyone here has experienced more than once. One of our favorite memories was the ball game where we bounced it up in the air. I want to say, keep it up above the water. I want to say we got to 100. Don't act like you're not impressed. That's impressive. Came down, one of my funniest memories is I came down for Christmas when I was 20, I think, and stayed at her house, and she was so giddy and excited to give me my first beer. So I let her believe that. But really, my favorite memories with her are really the sports memories. She was a Pittsburgh fan, never held that against her, being a Broncos fan. But more than anything, it was Arizona basketball. If you're from Tucson, you got Arizona basketball in your blood. She kind of introduced my life to Arizona basketball. We grew up watching it together all the way from Steve Kerr. Yes, I'm that old. to very recently. I remember the 1997 championship, sitting in the room with her and Papa watching the game, and you know, it's a memory I'll have forever. Turns out last time we were here, we actually got to watch a basketball game together. So last game we got to watch together, they lost to Houston, unfortunately, but it was special to have that time together. So I can hear her defiant voice right now that she would not want us to be making all this fuss about her. she just wants us all to celebrate and have a good time. So that's what I think we should be here to do, celebrate her life, a life well lived. And, you know, gonna miss you, Meemaw, and grateful to have had you in my life. So thank you.
All right, thank you everybody for coming. My name is David McCormick. I was also a grandson to Joyce Evans. I am here today to honor and remember my Meemaw. She was a very strong woman. All right. But more than that, she was kind. She had a way of making people feel loved, whether through her warm smiles or her thoughtful words. She wrote the best birthday cards and Christmas newsletters, which I'm sure all of you got. I know we all feel the impact of her loss, but we can hold on to many memories she gave us. I will always remember, and unfortunately we have the same thing here, I always remember swimming during the summer and bringing my own children here to swim with her, where she had the big straw hat and the beach ball, and it was the best time. She told the best stories and had such a great sense of humor. She also introduced me to a lot of the music that we were talking about earlier, ABBA and Josh Groban, so that was fun. But yeah, her life was not always easy, but she told each tale with a smile and a laugh. While she may no longer be here, her influence and love remain with us. We will carry her spirit forward, remembering her in our actions and in our kindness and the way we care for one another. Meemaw, thank you for everything. You will always be in our hearts. Thank you.
And darker days are drawing near. The winter winds will be much colder now you're not here. I watch the birds fly south across the autumn sky, and one by one they disappear. I wish that I was flying with them. Now you're not here. Like the song through the trees, you came to love me. Like a leaf on a breeze, you blew. Thank you. like a leaf on a breeze, you blew. A gentle rain falls softly on my weary eyes, as if to hide a lonely tear. My life will be forever autumn, 'cause you're not here, 'cause you're not here, 'cause you're not here. Guess you're not here. 'Cause you're not here. 'Cause you're not here. We'll be right back.
it's impossible. Tell the sun to leave the sky, it's just impossible. It's impossible. Ask a baby not to cry, it's just impossible. Can I hold you closer to me and not feel you going through me? Split the second that I never think of you. Oh, how impossible. Can the ocean keep from rushing to the shore? It's just impossible. If I had you, could I ever want for more? It's just impossible. And tomorrow, should you ask me for the world, somehow I'd get it. I would sell my very soul and not regret it. For to live without your love, it's just impossible. Can the ocean keep from rushing to the shore? It's just impossible. If I had you, could I ever want for more? It's just impossible. And tomorrow, should you ask me for the world, somehow I'd get it. I would sell my very soul and not regret it. For to live without your love is just impossible. Impossible. Impossible.
This heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, children's carousel, the chestnut tree, we wish you well. And I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer day, in everything that's bright and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is through, I'll be looking at the moon. But I'll be seeing you. Mm-hmm. cafe. Park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut tree. Wish you well. And I'll be soon in every lovely summer day, in everything that's bright and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is through, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
Letting pictures tell the story. This morning, before we head on out for lunch that's prepared for us, I'd just like to take a quick look at Scripture, because times like these, we really just need to hear from God to find the comfort and peace that we long for. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that if we've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, then to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's why we can call this time together a celebration of life, because we know where Joyce is based on her faith in Jesus Christ. In Psalm 116, we find the phrase, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And so the death of Joyce, it's not a tragedy for God. No, it's actually a sacred and precious moment for him as he carries his own into his presence. And this is the confident hope that we have, which makes our time together so unique, yet so very special. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then all who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So today, we encourage one another with these words. I love what Ephesians chapter 1 tells me. It reminds us, for those who know Christ, we were chosen by God before the foundation of this earth. Listen, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." If we know him this morning, these words of God resonate in our hearts. It reminds us that he didn't just stumble upon us. No, he had us in mind from the very beginning, with a specific goal for us to be set apart for his purposes, set apart for his plans. The big picture of our life as followers of Jesus is that we have been known and pursued by a loving God long before we even existed or even had anything to offer or even we could respond to him by faith. And he made our life possible both here and for eternity by sending his son Jesus to pay the price for our sin so that we can be connected to him both now and forever. Romans chapter 6 reminds us of how our sin condition separated us from God and what he did to solve that problem. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's about recognizing our sin and accepting this gift of forgiveness through Jesus, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection that we get to celebrate this coming weekend. Jesus tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, Jesus conquered death. He saved us from God's wrath. He set us free. And now we carry his name, both in this life and into the one to come. And today? Well, today we simply come full circle, don't we? Here at the grave. Yet we know that when we pass from this life, something truly miraculous takes place. Listen to the Apostle Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This passage speaks to the temporary nature of our physical bodies, as we are likened to a tent which deteriorates with time and wear. I'm sure most of us have got maybe a tent stuffed in the shed someplace that's fallen apart from heat and time and abuse. Maybe you experienced the weakness of a tent while camping, you know, as it dripped on your forehead all night, it's like some torture test or something. Or maybe you experienced the weakness of your body in sickness, you know, in physical trauma. We like to think of ourselves as being strong, maybe even invincible. In fact, our bodies are extremely fragile and vulnerable, much like the tent that he refers to. It's interesting to note that the Apostle Paul probably understood a lot more about tents than you and I. Paul was a tent maker, if you remember. He made his way around the then known world, kind of earning his keep that way. Acts chapter 18, Paul says that he went to Corinth and stayed there with some people who were tent makers like himself. I don't know about you today, but you might be feeling a little unraveled in your tent. And if you don't, there will come a day when you will. In this passage, Paul contrasts a weak tent with what he calls a building that God has prepared for us in heaven that is durable and permanent. Paul's using this imagery to encourage us in this moment that when our life has reached its God-ordained expiration date, we have a divine appointment waiting for us. Romans 8, chapter verse 11 says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead will also restore to life your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." I personally believe the Apostle Paul writes this passage in light of the words previously given by Jesus out of John chapter 14, where he contrasts this earthly fragile tent with the solid building that he has constructed for us. Listen to Jesus as he talks about us and our forever home in John chapter 14. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, the setting of this passage is much like the setting here this morning. Actually, more like afternoon now. The setting is heavy in light of the loss that we're experiencing. The setting was heavy back then in the light of Jesus telling them that he was going to leave them. In the midst of their fear and uncertainty and in the midst of ours, he gives us this directive and says in one verse, in verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Don't let your hearts be troubled. How can he make this bold statement when you and I encounter so much heartache and we go through so many difficult times? What I notice first in these words is that this is a command. This is a command because he loves us, and that's when he throws out commands. And Jesus isn't denying the reality of their struggles and our struggles, but he calls them to a higher trust and belief. He tells us today not to be troubled, but instead believe in God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And then gives us this glorious picture of what is to come. He paints this portrait for us today, attempting to shift our focus away from the chaos and the pain of this moment and place our gaze toward the amazing things that are yet to come. He says, "In my Father's house, he has prepared many rooms." And he is the one for you and for, he's got one for you and for me and all those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. He is crafting a home for us that we cannot earn, but only grace provides. In verse 3, we then get a sense of this epic event of love that takes place as he comes for us and he takes back us into his arms, into his presence forevermore. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This is Joyce's future. Okay, this is ours. Whether he comes for us when he returns to this earth, or whether we pass in death. You know, it's easy for our hearts to be troubled. Jesus tells us not to be, based on who he is, based on who his Father is. And this is what we have to look forward to. We are cherished. We are pursued. We are a part of a master plan since the foundation of the world. And he will fulfill his promises. But this time, we do release Joyce back to her Creator. We let her go, and we trust God with her as we rest confidently in the words of Scripture that tell us, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved, and he will provide a place for us for eternity, and we are secure in him forever. Please pray with me. Lord, this morning, we let Joyce go. We thank you for her, and we thank you for bringing her to yourself, even at a late stage in life. We pray you would be with the family here as they grieve. Pray you would give them comfort and peace, knowing they can trust you. I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, that they would turn from sin and find real life, both now and for eternity. Thank you for this time of remembrance and celebration. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Which now brings us back to the amazing grace of God.
Good afternoon. It is truly a blessed privilege and honor to be with you today on behalf of our sweet friend and the extended family of Miss Joyce. I have with me some family today, and we've come because of the love that we have for this family for almost 3 decades. It's become rare to come in contact with someone who has so much joy, as her name tells us, and so much love and so much humor and kindness to share. And sometimes we feel it's rare these days, but it doesn't have to be rare if we follow her example and let all the love that she shared with us, all the joy and all the laughter, flow through us, and we graciously share it with those around us. My family and I are very grateful for that love and joy that she shared with us. And we continue and will continue to offer our prayers and encouragement to all of you in this time.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see through men. Just holes and snares I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me thus far, and grace will lead me home when we been there.
Thank you, Lacey. That was beautiful. What a great reminder. On behalf of the family, thank you so much for being here. A special time together. They've invited you to a lunch, which is right out this door to where a gymnasium is, kind of a copper top entrance, kind of straight ahead there. You can join us there for that, and you can talk some more. Also, we'll give you a chance, if you'd like to share there, we'll pull the mic out, and if you'd like to be able to say something as well. If you haven't signed the guest book, it's right back here. You can go ahead and do that on your way out. And again, thank you so much for being here. And I'm just going to ask the family to go ahead in the first row, the family to go by the door there, and you can, on your way out, you can talk with them. God bless.